CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby on the Mountain, and streaming worldwide at CJSF.ca. Today we're going to give you something interesting. You're going to be able to listen to a review and celebration of the November 30th special program that Eco Wisdom had. We have participants that have been parts of the teaching. We have people that are parts of the guide. But in case you have heard about forest bathing and you're wondering what's that about, you will hear how it has become real to the group that are talking this morning. Before I introduce them, I want to say good morning also to my wonderful, brilliant co-host, the co-director, co-founder of Eco Wisdom. And I'm going to now have our land acknowledgement by CJSF Public Affairs Director Jesse Winslow.
Today's program is being produced virtually and remotely from a lot of different places, but the studio where we're recording is located on the unceded and ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have lived and worked and played on these lands since time immemorial. And unceded means that these lands were never formally or legally surrendered or bought or sold or traded, and that we here in what is called British Columbia are living on stolen lands.
And as I promised, introducing Carrie Crow, the brilliant person who, with a partner, looked at all of the research, evidence-based research on how nature improves, extends life. And so, Carrie, would you just introduce the people that are going to be participating? I have a question. Each of the people who come in and are going to be speaking, that when you speak, you give your first name, last name, if optional. And I would like to know why you are so excited about nature. Why are you so excited about accessible nature? What makes the difference between accessible nature and just any of the programs people are having and saying it's about nature and healing?
Thanks, Charlotte. It's nice to be here. Maybe I'll just jump in and just tell you why I'm excited, and then I'll backtrack and tell you a little bit about Eco Wisdom and how it came to form, because the two are tied together.
Sounds great.
So I live with a complex chronic illness disability, and I have worked as a professor of disability studies and a health researcher, and I became really fascinated in my very long journey to becoming whole with my own personal experience of connecting with nature and the dramatic results that I experienced physically, but also emotionally, creatively, spiritually. And that inspired and moving to this Eco Wisdom Forest Preserve, which is over 200 acres of land with wild roaming moose and bear and wolves, moving here off grid and experiencing these things in my own body and heart inspired us, a small group of us, to start Eco Wisdom and offering accessible nature well-being programs and also an accessible nature guide training program. It's accessible and inclusive. And that means that we are able to support people with various kinds of disabilities in our program and welcome and celebrate disability as part of the human experience and a part of what nature teaches us around our place in the diversity of life. So that's a little bit about me, what's inspired my passion, and a little bit about ecoism as well. And so we did have a program recently, and I guess that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. And I want to ask each person that wants to comment about the program, aside from your name, why are you particularly interested in accessible, and how are you, do you see this program going beyond the blue chair? You know, how in Peanuts they said everything can't be 25 cents, Lucy. Everything can't be this picture of a chair. And so I'd like for Kim, would you like to start with just what makes you so excited, and how does this connect with your purpose in life?
Well, I think for myself, what really excites me about EcoWisdom's approach to forest bathing or using nature for us to get in touch with so many things is the accessibility part, in large part because it doesn't leave people out. It brings into community people who often are just kind of not thought of or left to the side. And it's so important for us in to be in community with each other, and to be in a community with something that we can hold on to and bring into us that helps us heal. And is inspiring, and it touches on all of that, what we do. So it's pretty big in my frame of mind. It's huge, and it's also incredibly personal. And I think that's the other thing about the community that we bring together is the stories, because it's a community of individuals and there's no judgment, there's no fixing people. People can be themselves and bring to the community such incredible stories and incredible ways of being and looking at things that just enrich us all so much. So that's part of my excitement about what's happening, what we do, and our programming.
In a word or two, how would you say that connects with what you view as your purpose in life?
That's pretty big too, but I have a background as a registered massage therapist, and I owned a clinic for many years. So I've always been really interested and fascinated by what helps people heal, what helps people feel. What gives comfort to people, what helps people feel better. And this path addresses a lot of those issues, a lot of those things all coming together. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's... It brings a part of my past in with what I see as it brings a lot of things together for me personally. And also personally, I use this every single day for my own health and my own well-being. And prior to having this in my life, yes, I would be in nature, or yes, I would have plants and things around me. But the approach is so different now, and it's really affected me personally, and I think it affects me and how I make my way in my day-to-day life now in a much, much more complete way.
Thank you. Thank you for expressing that. Sandy, would you mind sharing with us how different, or what you were expecting when you heard about an accessible wellness program.
I'm a person who lives with a disability and chronic pain. And as an artist, nature has fed my practice for years and feeds my soul. If I'm ever going to feel spiritual, it's when I'm connected to nature. And eco-wisdom has taught me how to, through accessibility, connect in that way.
Were there any particular things at the November 30th Accessible Wellness Program that stood out for you? Or?
I love the visual and the auditory, and the moose video really stood out for me because it allowed me to see an event in nature that I typically would never have had the opportunity to see. So that was thrilling. And any of the nature videos that show color and taps into the visual and the auditory. So the sounds in nature and the colors just are beautiful.
And seeing those, did it give you any feeling that, oh, maybe with my camera I could capture some of nature that could be in a video?
Probably more so with my paintbrush. Mm-hmm. But I find the videos calming, and they're just beautiful.
And thank you for sharing that. Do you believe people have a purpose in life?
I do. I think so, yes.
Do you feel comfortable sharing what you feel is your purpose?
Well, I don't know that I would have said this many years ago, but I think because I manage my disability so well, I can be a role model in a sense for people. And even as a senior, becoming more engaged in community. And so it allows me to be somewhat of a role model in that respect.
I think that's really important because that's the missing face sometimes in messages about improving your health or going out into nature. The face of the senior is missing. So I'm happy that, you know, with the artistic craft you have and also the nature principles that were shared at that and other accessible wellness programs. So thank you for sharing. Kari, did you want to introduce the next person to talk about what they particularly liked about accessible nature wellness training and the fact that one of the things I find that's different, I hear a lot of people saying they're into nature, but not many providing the data, the research, the validation of some of the practices that are included in what the nature wisdom guides get.
Yeah, it's interesting. In terms of our nature and forest therapy guide training program, as I mentioned before, it's also accessible. And it was inspired by my own personal experience undergoing my training and having some difficulty around having my disability understood and accommodated and, quite frankly, celebrated. I felt like I was being seen as a burden. And, part of that was maybe on me, but part of it was that I requested certain things and it wasn't a priority. And so we wanted to do it differently. And we wanted to go, we really do. I say that we're accessible and inclusive. So whatever identities people are bringing to the table, bringing into our community as guides and as participants in our nature well-being programs, we encourage people to celebrate and move into and expand into that identity in a space where we will not judge, that where we will celebrate all of those identities, whether that's related to gender diversity or race and ethnicity, for example. So inclusion and accessibility is a big part of, and it's like integrated. We use a framework called disability justice, which is looking at sort of intersections of oppression and ways that we can move
through that and mark our place as people, many of us seniors living with chronic illness or disability, making a space for us in connecting with nature. It, whether that is a park program or whether that is a conservation program or whether that's an art in nature program, a poetry writing program, if you're leading it, Charlotte, you know, like lots of different, we belong everywhere. And sometimes we have to articulate that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, my background is in research, and we have connected with an international group of forest therapy researchers, and we are in the process of publishing our third peer-reviewed academic paper looking at the benefits of the programming on our participants. But I would like to actually invite Karma to speak next, because Karma, she has been a participant, but she's also been through our training program as a guide. So she might have some, I'm sure she will have some insightful comments. And she has contributed beautifully her creative writing and her soul in these. Maybe I'll just let her describe how she, you know, what she share, what she wants to share. But that's what I will say about Karma. Karma, would you like to, what would you like to say?
Well, there's so much to say about eco-wisdom. You said a lot of what I was thinking, because when I think of eco-wisdom, some of the qualities that immediately appear is, well, the awareness, an ever-expanding awareness with every meeting and every session we do with forest bathing. Awareness of how we are nature and how we have this little body that we run around in and look after. But actually, we're integrating with nature and each other all the time. And one fantastic thing about this movement, and it's to do with the training, or the training has to do with the movement of bringing the science, because, you know, we have these feelings all the time and we have tendencies that we operate from. For instance, I lived up north and now I live in the Kootenays. Most of my adult life has been in forests, and so you naturally blend with it. But the training gives tools. The training teaches you to be mindful. We have so much good support with meditations and visuals. As Sandy was saying, all those tools really give you something to land on, give you something to work toward or be inspired by. But here's the thing about the program being an accessible nature program. And it is the inclusivity. The inclusivity is very key. I find the thing that kind of magnetized for me, because now I also have different abilities that aren't accommodated very well. For instance, right now I need new equipment, and unless I have $50,000, I can't get it. It's even though it's medically prescribed. So even at that level, there's a lot of don't hear you, don't see you, go away and don't bother us. So when you find a program like this that is so inclusive and so supportive, and you bring what you bring, and it's all becomes part of the program. We're taught contemplative listening, for instance. Now, how often do we get a chance to practice that? We try and do it on our own, but when we do a mindful thing about it, and we respect each other with these I don't know what you call it, qualities. So all around us is nature. We are part of nature. This program supports that, supports the integration. And then when we feel that, it's almost like a safety, it's a community, and it's a reciprocity. And we learn deep into reciprocity with dealing in nature, not just with each other, but how to be around the plants, the animals, the sea and the sky, and not just barge in and consume it or exploit it or discard it, you know? So yes, we're really deepening ourselves. And with this reciprocity, we're learning skills so that we can actually reach out and share with each other and the larger community. Like, it goes out like ripples wherever we do. So having this as a heart place to go from and to check in with each other on these meetings is really a blessing and something to be celebrated. I'm very grateful, Kari, and everyone. I'm so grateful to all your contributions all the time. You're amazing. Thank you. Because I won't stop talking.
So obviously, not only at the November 30th, but other of the accessible nature workshops, you felt welcomed and accommodated?
Yes, definitely, always.
And do you see this as a part of your purpose in life? Or related to your life purpose?
Yes, I think so. Because I have this feeling that my purpose in life is to be the best I can be and to support others around me to be the best they can be. You know, we like to support each other to reach our potential. And sometimes when there's a lot of obstacles, it's really good to have that support. And I feel this program absolutely does that.
And have you, as you mentioned, a lot of times the way people interact with seniors is disrespectful or not really taking time to appreciate that while the person might have a disability or move slower or be more forgetful, that there's a rich layer of love and rich layer of interpersonal strengths that can be shared if someone just touches the key that was in your heart to record or the key to paint. Do you feel that you have, even during the program, do you feel shifts in your body, shifts in things, a way that you were feeling from before you started to get involved with one of the accessible workshop meetings?
Well, yes, because I'm doing forest bathing, and that has led, mine is growing in the amount of time I spend doing it. So forest bathing for me is very meditative, and when I'm still and just focused like that, this awful chronic pain subsides somewhat. And when that happens, then I have more energy and focus for other things. And so just from the forest bathing point of view, it has changed my body and the way I feel during the day and the night, physically and mentally. And with the group emotionally, because everybody is uplifting and inspirational, and you feel like you belong. You don't feel like such an outcast, or you can't do anything, or your word isn't worth anything, and things like that. There's a lot of abusive things happening out in the communities, and this is a very good antidote because it empowers you to stand as part of nature legitimately and in every way. And so I think it strengthens the spirit as well, Charlotte.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And the chronic pain, you know, I had an experience where I fell getting on a bus, and the extreme pain, you can go into a regular doctor's office and they write you prescriptions for medications that have high amounts of toxic substances or narcotic addictive substances, and the fact that there's something, an alternative that exists, and then people like you who are willing to share, well, I am being able to, and Kyrie being able to share that chronic pain without massive amounts of addictive medicine, chronic pain can be managed with some of the different practices that we are taught, and not only taught, but encouraged to share. So just thank you for speaking on that. And I would like to ask Alicia. Alicia, as a facilitator, part of the education group, often you handle the chats when we are having an accessible wellness nature program. And what do you find from the chats of ways that people are responding to what they're hearing or how they're hearing things?
I find it so powerful, Charlotte, that people will talk often about beauty, about feeling connected. Sometimes people will connect to a memory that they had being out in nature. Sometimes it's just feeling connected to the houseplant or the rock that might be with them in the moment. But I'm always struck by the imagery of what people share. And, you know, feel like there's times I feel like I'm right there with them, even though we're physically, geographically so far apart. And I'm struck by, even through the technology, how at times how deep it can go in the sharing time when people are given the space to pause and reflect and slow down and talk about their connection to nature or their response to the video or as on the last workshop, the beach meditation, you know, seeing the video of the moose, you know, and people just get to pause. So that I find really, really, really beautiful.
What of your own personal relationship? What are you excited about in being part of Echo Wisdom, and more than just the name Echo Wisdom, but the kinds of experiences that are given through video or given through soundscape?
When I started getting involved a few years ago, I hadn't done forest bathing very much prior to that. I was really amazed at how much I could connect, and people were connecting from watching a video or hearing a mindful meditation. And there were times when, you know, Carrie would say, for example, touch the moss on a tree or some leaves in the grass, and you'd feel like you're there.
Right.
You know, and I think Carrie would and others would talk about that our brains can. So it's amazing how our brains can sort of fill in those gaps even when we're not physically present, but it engages part of our brain and our imagination that helps us feel connected just through the use of video or hearing the sound of the water or hearing the sound of birds. That really struck me. And I live in a city, downtown core, lots of concrete and tall buildings. And it's been so helpful to become more attuned to nature. So I notice when I go for a walk to the waterfront, there's like an area of like a little garden just by the side of the road. I notice each time I stop and notice it and take it in more deeply than I used to. I think before you just walk by, but now I really notice those things. And I think that's from attending these workshops, that just the slowing down to, I think a phrase Carrie uses a lot, slowing down to the pace of nature.
Yes.
So I find that's been really, really helpful.
How do you see this? How would you express this as a part of your purpose in life?
I feel at this stage in my life that my purpose is more about being than doing. There's always, you know, I've gone through, you know, years being a mom and I worked as a therapist in a very busy agency. And there was so much emphasis on doing, being productive, running around. And now I feel like the focus is on just being and being open to what the day brings. I'm retired now, but I'm busy.